Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding as we together get into your word. We love you, Jesus, and thank you for continuing the good work you began in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Proverbs chapter 24, we're going to talk about the precious and pleasant riches of the Word of God today. In Proverbs 24, we're going to look at beginning in verse 3, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. Now, I believe he's talking about the house of our lives. Jesus talked about that in Matthew 7 when he spoke about building the foundation of worshiping, loving, and obeying God in your life. Otherwise, your house is being built on sand, right? Sinking sand. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. We should stop and think and meditate on and examine whether or not the houses of our lives are being built on the wisdom of God, which is the Word of God, and the correct understanding thereof. Again, verse 3, Proverbs 24, through wisdom, through what? Through wisdom, the wisdom of God, the Word of God, is an house builded. The house of our life must be built on the wisdom of God, the Word of God. That happens only as we study to show ourselves approved in the Word of God each and every day. And it's by understanding that that house is established and continues to be built. So the only way to have a solid foundation is to know God's Word and to pour over it every day prayerfully. If a foundation of a house that's built with cement has impurities in that cement, eventually it's going to break down. You can talk to these structural foundational industry guys and they'll tell you exactly that. Or you can Google it and look it up and study that. It's a multi, probably billion-dollar industry where people go out and they have to repair the house foundation, somebody's foundation of their house, because it's cracking and it's starting to cause the house to be lopsided and not grounded and flat and not trued up. And so this is what happens in our lives. When we build our lives on something other than the pure wisdom, which is the Word of God, later on it's going to be a problem. In fact, right now there are people in hell who began correctly, but they didn't take the time and the attention, because God wasn't quite that important to them, to make sure the foundation of their life was built on the Word of God. And Jesus said their house is built on sand. So when the floods and the winds and all of the storms hit in this life, especially in this last hour, when we're told that things are going to get worse and worse, then we're not going to be able to endure to the end. Something's going to break down. And that's what happens when you build a physical house and the content of the foundation is not pure. It's got some things in it that are compromised, and that right there is going to cause that foundation to begin to collapse when the storms of life hit. That's the picture we see in Scripture. Notice verse 4 of Proverbs 24. Our text today is Proverbs 24, 3 through 6. Verse 4, and by knowledge shall the chambers, not only the foundation, but now he goes into the chambers. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So it's by the knowledge of God that we fill each compartment of our heart, if you will, with these precious and pleasant riches of his word. So we not only build that house on the solid foundation of the Word of God, we fill it full of the furniture of the truth of God. These are the precious and pleasant riches of the Word of God. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 that all things that pertain unto life and godliness are found in the exceeding great and precious promises, that's the Scriptures, of the Lord. All right, verse 4, a wise man, are we walking in God's wisdom? A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. See, as you obtain, you procure to your heart and mind and life the Word of God, you're going to increase in the strength of God. Amen. That's a great verse to memorize. Well, Sister Debbie is the one who arranged each of the 365 devotionals in the book, and she was obviously led of God, because every week God is hitting it right on the nail on the head. Amen. He knows all things, past, present, and future. He inhabits eternity. So we're talking about the wisdom of God. As we are growing in the wisdom of God, we're increasing strength, because we grow in the wisdom of God by walking in the Word of God, because the Word of God is the wisdom of God, and the wisdom of God is the Word of God, and it's given to us, even the very thoughts of His heart, in tangible form, the record, quote unquote, of the Holy Scripture. Psalm 33:11, 1 John 5:10 and 11. The record of the Scripture, or the recording of it, is there for us. And so we can only be destroyed by lack of knowledge if we reject the knowledge of God that's available to us in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. What a treasure chest of the divine riches of the Lord. So who's strong? A wise man is strong, right? Verse 5. And who is going to increase in strength? A man of knowledge increases strength. So as we grow in the knowledge of God through the Word of God, we're going to increase strength and momentum in this life with Christ as we look for His soon return, and as we're abiding in Him and He's producing in us an increase, an exponential progression of fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. John chapter 15. Now verse 6 says, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make war." And where do we find the wise counsel of the Lord? "For by wise counsel," and that's the Word of God, "thou shalt make thy war. And in multitude of counselors there is safety." Now, being in the military, as many who will listen to this message are or were in the military, we know that so much great strategy and thought, endless thought, if you will, goes into how we are going to approach the enemy. We take into account the devices, the implements, the tools, the wartime machines that the enemy has, and all kinds of different other factors. And by wise counsel, we approach this warfare in military strategy. And that's how we need to look at our lives. The Bible says to be not ignorant of Satan's devices. You got to meditate upon how he tricked and deceived and misled the first man and woman to sin against God and thereby fall from His grace, because the wages of sin is death. It separates us from God, who is holy, right? So that's one example of how we make war. Notice, we are in a warfare. We are good soldiers of Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy chapter 2, in this warfare. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, and that is the Word of God. So here in verse 6, Proverbs 24, "By wise counsel thou shalt make thy war." We are to approach the war of this life, which we ultimately win as we fight the good fight of faith and as we endure to the end. And we're to do that by wise counsel. And what do you think that wise counsel is? It's the Word of God. It's the pleasant, or the precious and pleasant riches of the wisdom, the Word of God, whereby we make this warfare against the enemy, sin, the world, and the devil. So for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. And think about the preparation. This can't just be an overnight, let's draw a map of where the enemy is and let's just go at it this way and try to see if that works. No, this has to be very, very, very well thought out and meditated upon to make sure that we have the right strategy. And the good news is that God gave us everything we need in this life to completely be, as Jesus was, victorious over the devil, over sin, and over this world. So for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. I mean, it's easy to read over this, but there's so much to it if we meditate upon it and we begin to employ it and not rush it, but see it developed in our hearts and minds, His wisdom, by the intake and the meditation upon His word. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. And ultimately, that would be the multitude of counselors that God used to give us His word, where over or about 40 men were used. It was sanctioned by God. These were holy men of God who spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. What a blessing. And that's how we have the Holy Scriptures, which are the final divine authority of God, the written word for all matters concerning the faith and the practice of it. There's nothing above the word of God. The word of God is the final authority of God on all matters in this life. So we're talking about these precious and pleasant riches of the Lord. Oh, the precious and pleasant riches of our God are the chambers of our hearts, we should ask. Is my vessel, is your vessel being filled today with His precious and pleasant riches through communion with God? Do we wake up every morning and seek His face and tell Him afresh, like you would do with your husband or wife, how much you love them and how much you're thankful to God that they married you and that you're blessed to be married to them? Now, that's talking about a good marriage right there. God made you women to be that way, and He made the attraction between men in that way, and He depicts His church as Him being the bridegroom and us being the bride. So do we remember the parable of the 10 virgins that Jesus taught? A parable is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning in Matthew 25:1-13. Getting into God's word today means that His word is getting into us, and our vessels, our hearts and lives, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, are being filled with divine virtue, even Christ Himself by the Holy Spirit. And that right there is essential to being ready for Christ's return. Remember, 5 of the virgins did not stay in communion with the bridegroom, and they ran empty. They were unable to borrow any oil from somebody else. You got to get it yourself. And that's the only thing God honors. You got to get in that word yourself. Now, we learn a little bit from the word from each other, but you got to have that personal time with God at intimacy, like a husband and wife. And those are the people, the wise virgins. Remember, 5 wise virgins made it into the bridal chamber of eternal glory. That's Revelation 21, the New Jerusalem. But the other 5, all who were set off on the path to the marriage, the other 5 were foolish. They fell away, which the Bible said that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. 1 Timothy 4:1-2. Jesus said, he that endures to the end shall be saved. So salvation is initial, but it's also final. And we've got to endure to the end. I didn't make that up. God did. And if anybody has a problem with that, that's your problem. Not anybody else's, but yours. Because you're not taking God at His word. It's not a one-time event. That's where it begins. You have to be born again. But Jesus said from that moment on, you're to deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me. And only those who endure to the end are going to be saved, Matthew 10:22 and 24:13. He told His own that. Why would He tell a lost person that when a lost person hasn't even begun with Him? Now that you're saved, you got to be rooted and grounded in Christ, Colossians 2:6-7, and endure to the end and be full of the precious and pleasant riches of the Word of God. That's how you endure to the end. Not only putting them in, but obeying God. But how are you going to know how to obey Him if you don't have the knowledge of His word? How are the chambers of your heart going to be filled with these precious and pleasant riches of the wisdom, the word of God, if you're not ingesting them every day, filling your heart and your life with the word and the love of God through communion with the Lord? As you get into the word of God is going to get into you, and you're going to be full, the chambers of your heart and mind, with these precious and pleasant riches. So how can I personally or possibly bless others today with the precious and pleasant riches of the treasure chest of God's word if those riches, that is, of His word, aren't being put into or replenished into the chambers of my heart today? Think about that. If you've got a pantry full of groceries and all kinds of canned whatever, I don't think many of us like canned goods, but good stuff in your pantry and in your refrigerator. When you see a hungry person, now you got some stuff to give them, right? But if you got an empty pantry and refrigerator, what do you have to give those people? Nothing. Are we full of the precious and pleasant riches? Don't you love the King James Bible? The preserved word of God for the English-speaking people. Don't you love that we have to devour every day? We have the privilege of devouring these precious and pleasant riches of the treasure chest of God's holy word. Jeremiah, the prophet, said, "Thy words were found." How do you find something? You got to search, right? Jesus said, "Search the scriptures. They are they which testify of me." Jeremiah 15:16, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." He devoured them. He ingested them. "And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." Now, notice the joy and rejoicing of mine heart Jeremiah spoke about. And how did that happen? Well, he said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." He ate the word of God. He ingested it. He devoured the words of God. And what did it result in? The joy and rejoicing of mine heart. I don't know about you, but I'm done living any day ever again without the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. What about you? I am saying that I've decided that I don't want to live another day without the love, joy, and peace of God, the first three dimensions of the fruit of the Spirit, ever. And the way that the love, joy, and peace of God is produced in our hearts is through the Word of God, the cleansing and the nutrient-rich Word of God. And we have to be full of the Word of God, like Jeremiah is saying, in order to experience the joy and rejoicing of our hearts. That's Jeremiah 15:16. I highly recommend that you memorize that scripture. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. "So the joy," notice, "thy words were found." Now you got, again, that doesn't happen by accident. The children of Israel had to go and they had to pick up the bread that God dropped on the floor of the desert when they were in the desert, which represents our life in this world. You got to get up out of your tent and go get the bread. It's not going to come to you. You got to go get it. But God already dropped it there for us. And the same is true for the Word of God. God dropped 66 glorious books in the beautiful canon of Holy Scripture. So we get up every day, and just like the children of Israel, and we go after that bread, the bread of life, the Word of God, which reveals Christ, who is the bread of life. Hallelujah. So, "thy words were found." That's easy to read right over that, but how did they get found unless he was searching for them? What did he do with the Word of God when he found it, when he opened the Bible, if you will, as we would? "I did eat them." He devoured them. Are we eating the Word of God? Our spiritual food is the Word of God. It's not church history or anything like that. It's the Word of God. It's not the reformers. Many of them were devils. They had a lot of poison in the pond. You get the pure Word of God from the Word of God itself. A lot of people have their lives built on something other than the Word of God, and they think it's Christian, but it's got some poison, some impurities in the foundation, and it's going to cost them in the long run. So we got to decide to put all that aside and go straight for the Word of God itself, not secondhand, firsthand. There'll be no secondhand citizens in eternal glory. We have to know God ourselves. Book of Ezekiel. So he says, "Thy words were found, and I did do what?" He ate them. And what happened? Check this out. "And thy word was unto me the joy," oh, don't you love that, "and rejoicing of mine heart." How many people want their hearts full of the joy and rejoicing of the Lord? Well, you got to do something. What did he say? You got to open the Bible, and you got to eat, you got to read, you got to study and meditate on those beautiful, a precious and pleasant riches of the Word of God. That's the Word of God. Then he says, "For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." We're called by his name, and we're called to devour his word, and it's going to fill our hearts with rejoicing. How can I possibly bless others today if my heart is not full of the precious and pleasant riches of the treasure chest of God's word? That's our main verse, Proverbs 24, Verse 4. So we must ask, am I hungering and thirsting for righteousness, the righteousness of the Lord? Jesus said, they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Think about that. Who's going to be filled with these precious and pleasant riches of God? Those that hunger and thirst after his righteousness. If I don't have a heart after God, beloved, if you don't, then what do we have other than dead religion? Right? Do I have a heart after God? David did. Remember, Jesus said, few there be which enter in thereat. In the same sermon that he preached on a Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5-7, in that same sermon that he said, few there be that enter in thereat, he said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they are the ones that are going to be filled. And later in the book of Matthew is when he talked about the wise virgins. They stayed full of the Lord. They had the joy and rejoicing of the Lord all the way into the eternal bridal chamber of the New Jerusalem, where they will spend eternity in the luxurious palatial estates of the New Jerusalem. Revelation 21. Let me stop to interrupt here and say, I want to encourage you this week to read Revelation 21, and I believe you're going to get homesick as you begin to do that. I believe you're going to start preparing. You know how you're going to go on a good vacation? It's pretty much funner to prepare for the vacation than the vacation sometimes. So, but you prepare. You're all excited. Are we excited to be with Jesus? Do we love this world? It's one or the other. And if any man love this world, the love of the Father is not in him. The Apostle Paul said, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And them that love him are those who seek his face. They choose to love him, not themselves. And they're full of the love, joy, and peace of the Lord. They're full of the precious and pleasant riches of the Word and the Holy Ghost, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Like Jeremiah, they have the joy and rejoicing of the Lord because they devour his words. They love him. They seek him. Now, what if you had a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, or wife that wrote a book? Wouldn't you want to read every word of that book? If for no other reason, because you wanted to apprehend the heart of the one you love, right? You want to know everything about that man, that woman. David said morning, noon, and night he sought the Lord. It's not only okay, it's actually God's will, and it's just the opposite of being religious. We're either following and fearing God, knowing he's our ultimate judge, not men, or we're fearing men. And those who fear God will never fear anything or anyone else. Those who fear God truly will never fear anyone or anything else. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So when we're seeking the face of God, we're hungering and thirsting after his righteousness. Again, both of those are in the same 3-chapter sermon of Matthew 5-7. What's happening when we're seeking first the kingdom of God? What's happening when we choose to hunger and thirst after the Lord? We're being filled afresh with the virtue, the blessing, the presence of God, the precious and pleasant riches of the Lord out of his treasure chest of his word are filling our hearts. So as we come in for a close, are we filling the vessel of our hearts and mind continually with the treasure of God's word? If not, beloved, we are emulating the foolish virgins of Jesus's parable of the 10 virgins, 5 foolish, who did not make it into the final eternal bride chamber, the eternal place with the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. Matthew 25:1-13, the only ones who made it in were the 5 who remained in fellowship, and therefore their vessels stayed full so that they had light for their path. The word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path, and those not in the word don't have that light, and therefore they don't see where they're treading, and they're stumbling in the darkness. They're falling away. and they need to turn back to the Lord in repentance and begin to devour the Word of God. And like Jeremiah, you're going to find that when you find the Word of God, because you search for it, you search the Scriptures, John 5:39 and 40, you're going to be filled with what? The joy and rejoicing of the Lord. I don't ever want to live another day without the joy of the Lord. The love, joy, and peace, the first three dimensions of the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit in the life of the obedient, abiding saint, Galatians 5:22 and 23. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And when you read that passage, Nehemiah 8, 1 through 10, you're going to find out that the reason why their hearts were full of the joy and strength of God is because they devoured the Word of God. There is no shortcut. If you're going to abide, remain, continue in Christ, you got to get in His Word. Jesus said, those that love me are those that hear, they get the Word of God, they devour and obey me. John 14:21. He that has my commandments and keeps or obeys them, he it is that loveth me. So if we're not devouring His Word and walking in it, embracing it and living it out, obeying Him via His Word, His instructions, then we don't love Him. And that's the place we need to come to honesty about with Jesus and have a come to Jesus meeting and admit, Lord, I don't love you. If I loved you, I'd be seeking after your Word. Everybody's seeking after something. Is it Jesus or is it something else? Such will determine your life in Christ in this life and or lack thereof and your eternal destiny. Remember, Ezekiel 3, verse 3 and 4. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat. We need to cause our belly to eat the Word of God. Take the bull by the horns, whatever you do, friend. Pour over, read, study, meditate upon, and memorize the words of God. The Bible says, in Proverbs 4, verse 4, let thine heart retain my words. The only way you're going to do that is to continue to flood your system every day with the words of God. And so many wonderful things are going to happen. Not only the joy and rejoicing of your heart, but the washing of water by the word. It's going to get all that guilt, all of that shame, all of that rebellion, all that depravity and wickedness is going to be washed out of your life as you stay in the Word of God. And you're going to live out of a clean conscience, a clean heart. Psalm 51, right? Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Search me, O God, Psalm 139, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. And that was penned by the man after God's own heart. Acts 13:22. I want to encourage you to emulate and pray the prayers, the divinely inspired prayers that beloved David, the man after God's own heart, prayed. As you go through the book of Psalms, that is a minefield of platinum gold nuggets, absolutely beyond description. I tell Christian brothers, drink the healing oil of God's Word. When your heart begins to droop in sadness and going back to the past and rehashing the things you did wrong, the sins you committed or whatever, that's a clear on, just flat out red flag alarm saying, get in the Word, beloved. Drink the healing oil of God's Word. And you're going to be smiling. Just stay in the Word. Get in the Word, stay in the Word. You got saved? Good, stay saved. By staying full of the Word of God, sitting at the feet of Jesus, adhering to His Word. Ezekiel 3, verse 3 and 4, and He said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll. That's God's Word. It was in a scroll, S maybe for Scripture, and roll for the roll, how it was formatted in that day. It wasn't in a bound book like we have, but it was in scrolls. Remember when Jesus stood up to read, He took that scroll and read from the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah in Luke 4. So He's telling him, Son of man, Ezekiel, in other words, God's telling him, cause thy belly to eat and fill your bowels, your heart and soul and body with the Word of God. Notice, fill thy bowels with this roll, the Word of God, that I give thee. Then did I eat. Then Ezekiel says, his servant Ezekiel, then did I eat. He ate the Word of God. Are you obeying God when He tells you to get in His Word and stay in His Word? Ezekiel did, and watch this. Then did I eat, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Oh, how sweet sweet the word of God is. It's the healing oil of heaven. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee into the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. Speak the word of God. That's a whole nother topic and such an important one. But notice, underline that, speak with my words unto them. That so many of us think we're wiser than God and our explanation of God is more important than the actual word of God, which is self-evident and self-explanatory, as if we have even the slightest possibility of having words as weighty and as powerful as the Lord. And those who say, Lord, I'm going to trust you with all my heart. I'm going to fear you. I'm going to lean not to my own understanding in all my ways. I'm going to acknowledge you. Those are the humble disciples who are going to preach the word of God. I saw this brother the other day preaching on the street. As we come for a close here, friends, we're going to pray in just a moment. And this brother, probably about 30 years old, black brother, what a blessing. He was simply saying, look, to the sinners, it's real simple, man. You just need to repent and receive Christ to be saved. That's it. It's just that simple. He wasn't out there to do anything but give the word of God as he preached the scriptures to those people and not complicate anything, but to keep it simple. And that's what he was doing as he did what Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, was inspired to write, that we are to preach the word. We are to speak as of the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 and 11. And right here, Ezekiel says it again, speak with my words unto them. And how are you going to be able to speak these precious and pleasant riches of God's word? Well, you're going to eat the word of God, as he told Ezekiel to do. You're going to devour the word of God. It's going to get inside of you and be internalized. You're going to begin memorizing it, meditating upon it, and being able more and more to efficiently navigate the word of God, chapter and verses, so that you're giving people the word of God. You're preaching the word of God. And every night, you're going to be able to go to bed with a clear conscience, because even though you're going to get attacked, you gave them God's word. They're attacking God, not you. You just happen to be the messenger. And you can't mess up when you're just giving them the word of God. But that word's got to first be in you. You got to ingest. You got to devour the precious and pleasant riches and fill the chambers of your heart and mind and life with the words of God. Amen. Let's pray, saints. Heavenly Father, right now, we repent of all the self-idolatry and pride and rebellion and unbelief, and for not seeking your face with a whole heart. For in your word you said, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Lord, bless us to be a man after your heart, a woman after your heart. From this moment forward, Lord, today we seek you, and we say individually to you, I lay my life into your holy hands, dear Father, in Jesus' name, and choose to hunger and thirst more and more after you, more of your word. Please use me, Lord. Please fill me with your word, the precious and pleasant riches of your word, and the joy and rejoicing of the Lord. And use me for your eternal glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.